Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Brandon is turning into Dr. Ruth today, so we definitely need 5 seconds of silence. Brought to you by Smarticle. Okay, Brandon, I can't wait to hear your thoughts today.
Wait. Here's the thing. I always know roughly what we're going to talk about because you send me the articles, but I don't know exactly. I think I know which one you're talking about on this one, but I don't. Dr. Ruth, the little tiny lady?
Dr. Ruth Westheimer. Here is the headline.
Oh.
Can a sexless marriage be a happy one?
Oh.
Experts and couples are challenged the conventional
Not
wisdom
comfortable with this.
That sex is essential to relationships. We get this from Amanda Monte in the New York Times. I do believe we can be grown adults and get through an article about sex on the Smarticle Podcast, even though my mom is listening, Brandon.
I think so. I think this is a really, this is probably one of the few articles that ever made me uncomfortable to talk with you about.
Oh.
Not because I'm uncomfortable to talk about the subject.
Okay.
But because you make a joke about everything, so I never can tell, are you being serious or not? And this is one that I think this hits a lot of people. We all have an opinion on this one, but let's do it. Let's launch into
it. Let's do it, Brandon. Let's not play around figuratively and literally. Let's just get into it.
See, there you go. Case in point, Pat. Case in point. Talking about a serious subject that affects millions and billions of people, and Larry makes a joke about it. But that's fine.
Cultural attitudes about the role sex plays in marriage have evolved over time. Where once marital sex was primarily a means for bearing children, in recent decades, the conventional wisdom was that frequent sex was integral to a happy union. During the 90s, a new wave of sex positivity coincided with the ascendancy of different forms of therapy, including couples counseling. Experts coached couples on how to strengthen their marriage, often relying on the belief that healthy relationships included consistent sex with partners. In more recent years, however, both relationship experts and couples themselves have been gradually dismantling some of these commonly held views, working to destigmatize the unconventional approaches that some take to stay together. Online groups have sprung up for couples who challenge basic assumptions that spouses should share a bedroom or even a home. I like this gal, Shannon Hyman, who runs a Facebook group called A Partners for Couples, said, quote, "My goal is to show that there are healthy options for relationships. No one size fits all." Last part here. One effect of the ever-changing sexual climate is that many couples today are simply less willing to tolerate what the psychotherapist Essel Perel calls boredom in the bedroom. Perel has made a career of articulating how domestic overexposure saps eroticism, which requires some intrigue, mystery, and unfamiliarity. Okay, Brandon, here it is. How many times a week should couples be getting it on? There you go. Let's go.
Wow. I love that you take a serious subject again, getting it on. Hey, doing the blanket dance, bumping uglies. What other euphemisms do you want to use for this topic, Larry? I don't know. I have no idea. According to this article, basically, and I don't know why we didn't do a Mocha MAGA on this. You must have forgot because you're such a professional, but this lady wrote a really interesting book about women, and there's a point to this.
Okay, I'm waiting for it, but go on.
She wrote a book about women and children, and a lot of this article is about how many women change after childbirth.
Yeah.
After they have, in terms of their sexuality. And I'm like—
Well, just for the record, my wife was the Black Widow. She was on the prowl, and then she got her kids, and she's like, yo, man, back up, homie. She had her kids, and she slowed it down. Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of women or people, we'll stick women because we're two men and we know from a man perspective and not even that good of one. But here's the thing.
Okay. Wait for it.
Women and men are different, Larry.
Oh, okay. That's it. Men are from Mars. Women are from Venus. Is that it?
Yeah. I told you I was uncomfortable doing this article with you because I can't have a serious conversation about it.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
I'm stymieing you because you have you're like, how many times will people be rocking the boat? Oh, hey, coming at you live, your drive time show. This is what my buddy Chris calls when he listens to him. He goes, this is Larry's drive time persona now. So you've taken a very serious subject. Are you uncomfortable talking about this subject?
Not at all.
You're totally okay.
Yes, of course.
Okay, so let's take this back to, as parents, we talk with our kids about things, and presumably you've had a conversation with your kids about sex and sex lives to an appropriate level. What do you think is an appropriate amount of time for sex for a married
couple? I was just joking with that question because there is no right answer. There is.
Right. Of course not.
And I think this article says like in like older era, my parents' era, there was a lot more, not mystery, but people didn't talk about it. So then in the 80s and 90s, couples therapy, people start talking about it. Now there's like a pushback to a lot of people talking about it in a different way.
We've talked about this, and it's no secret on the show that we talk a lot about Christian issues and things that affect the Christian world. And I think the way Christianity has looked at least as I came of age, which was that, hey, a woman has a duty to take care of her husband.
Yikes.
And that means everywhere. Yikes. I heard that a lot in churches. And I used to be like, yeah, women should be kicking it down on a regular basis to take care of their man. And as I've gotten older, I'm kind of like, well, that's such a weirdly nuanced thing to say. Because one of the things they talked about was this couple that was basically not having a lot of sex, but were very comfortable and very happily married. And they talked about the reasons why they weren't having sex, but none of it was about their like for each other, their love for each other. It had to do with a lot of different factors. So I think what my point is, a lot of people, and this article made that, was that, hey, if you don't have a lot of sex in your marriage, obviously there's something wrong with your marriage. And I think this article says, no, that's not true.
Well, yeah. I mean, just there's no blanket statement that works.
No, because I think that I know for, and I will refuse to talk about my sex life on this show, Larry. I did not get permission from my wife to do so.
Let's do
it. But I definitely know that having children affects your sex life. There's no question. But I think there's some mythology out there that says, hey, you got to keep it hot in the bedroom. I mean, even with kids, you got to spice it up. And that, they do say that in here because they did talk about one thing that to me that was controversial that I completely disagree with. And I've heard this played out in lots of different places, which is about polyamorous relationships or non-monogamous relationships.
Brandon.
I don't know anybody that's going out and getting strange that has a healthy marriage. I just simply don't. I think anybody that's going out there and like, I don't care what the couple's like. They're like, oh, it's totally cool. We're totally cool with it. It's good. But they always end up divorced. So I don't think that's it.
Listen,
I'm just spitballing.
I have enough with one woman in my life. Throw another one in there, I'm drowning.
I always play it out like, oh yeah, you know, in the beginning you're gonna be like, yeah, ooh, this is hot. And then all of a sudden it's gonna get weird and you're gonna have to like, I don't know how to deal with your emotions and their emotions. It's like, forget it. It's not worth it.
The one part of this article that I connected with is that when you live with someone, you do lose a little bit of the mystery because you walk in and they're pooping. And you're like, oh,
I draw the line at that. No, I don't.
Every once in a while, it's not like it happens all the time, but like someone had dropped a giant deuce and you go to the bathroom after they walked in. You're like, oh, God. So then how do you keep it?
I don't know why you, how but did I'm your just wife saying, stay with you?
There's a little bit of like you lose when you're just around someone all the time. It's just that's.
It also depends on your personality. I mean, you've referred to your wife's vajayjay after having kids as the turkey shit.
Yeah, woof.
And I find that to be.
It took me a little time to get over that.
How could.
But I did. I worked through it.
My point is, how in the world do you expect there to be, you know, if you have that feeling about a natural thing like childbirth and you look at it like the call your wife's the turkey shoot
well,
and you're the
I looked
catcher,
down the barrel after referred, she had a kid and there was a lot of ripping and tearing and it like was.
That's my point. Like it's. The point you're making right now, I think, is that it can be very, very difficult and uncomfortable to talk about serious things like this.
Well,
that's why.
I'm just saying if your marriage or relationship is solely based on just like physicality, like that's all it is, like how someone looks, or then like because sex, romance, my marriage is based on like so many, like our partnership, our kids, what we've done together, our stories, our memories. It can't be based on. I walked in and she was taking a deuce and now I can never make love to her again. It just can't.
Well, the other thing, you know, I have an old saw, which is why I don't like weddings. People are always like, oh, I don't really like, it's not that I don't like weddings. What I don't like is the overemphasis of importance on the wedding itself as a society. And what I mean by that is you were married 20 years ago. I was married almost 20 years ago and I had a great wedding day. You were there. It was great. We had a good time. It was fun. But in the vast configuration of our life together, we have had lost siblings and parents and children. We have had jobs and moves and and so many different people have come and gone from our life. Close friends who've gotten diagnosed with cancer and you've gone through that with them. I mean, there's just so many things, struggles. I know that parents that I know that have, their kids have struggled. When their kids struggle, it has a massive impact on your marriage. And so it's a very nuanced tapestry. And to kind of label it as like, oh, if you're not doing X, they say how many times, and I thought it was interesting. The article said most people count. They still count. Like how many times they've had sex? I was like, really?
Wow.
Who counts?
That seems like, like a number. Like there's a
I guess.
In and I'm like we've made love 2,000 times.
Like a counterboard on a pool table.
Oh my gosh. How do we wrap this up here?
Yeah, because I'm very uncomfortable right now.
Who was the famous radio love doctor? Dr. Laura.
Dr. Laura Schlesinger?
I heard Dr. Laura once and she was saying, if a woman doesn't have sex with her husband, he's going to go out and have an affair because it's just innate in a man that he's got to go get it somewhere. And she was saying, like, you got to give it to him as much as possible. Total like an 80s, 90s philosophy.
Yes.
There is a little bit of truth to that, but I would just say in my house, if I want to have some love time, three things have to happen. A, I got to tell the wife early on in the day. I can't spring it on her. Hey, 9:30 at night. Hey, let's do this. That's not happening.
Oh boy.
So tell her early.
Really uncomfortable.
Telegraphing
now.
It to her. Telegraphing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then
a lot of spontaneity there.
Giving her some wine, like she likes to relax.
A box of wine. She likes a box of wine.
Then an 80s movie. So like, you know,
rom-com.
Like an 80s rom-com. And then the final leg of the stool, Brandon, is a foot rub with the lotion. If I do those four things.
That just sounds like a lot of work, bro.
Hey man. I'm just saying, like, I've perfected this. If I get those four things, it's almost, it's infallible.
Yeah, but you can't do those four things, like, every night of the week.
No.
That has to be, like, spontaneous,
but I'm just saying,
every once in a while.
I know I've cracked the code over 20 years.
Oh, okay. For your wife, you've cracked the code.
Four things need to happen, and it's guaranteed. It's 100%.
This has totally gone off the rails. But I don't, the importance of what you're saying, though, and they talked about it in the article, was that you still need to find ways to make it interesting and
keep it freaky.
And there's a psychologist or a marriage and family counselor who talked about the fact that they oftentimes talk with couples about how their fantasy life and blah, blah, blah. So yeah, there's probably lots of things. I think for me, what my biggest takeaway from the article was how the mores around sex have changed and how they continue to change. And they don't just change like generation to generation. I think they change in our lives as we grow, as we mature, hopefully. I still run into buddies from college who talk about it like they're 50. I'm like, bro, are you kidding me? And that's probably part of that's bravado. But I don't know. It's obviously an incredibly complex.
I would like to wrap it up with this, in that do you have people in your life that you could talk about this with? Like, do you have couple friends? Do you have friends that you, sex obviously is controversial. And if you're feeling something with your partner and you have no one to talk to, it would be a horrible spot to be in. So do you have people in your life that you could share and be like, I'm frustrated, I'm sad, I'm this, I'm that, and get advice?
Yeah, we have good friends in our circle of friends for sure.
How good of friends are they, Brandon?
See, and that's my point. That's my point. And the one time, Pat, the one time we needed him to keep it clean. Don't play blue, Larry. Don't play blue. The one time we have good friends that we can talk about pretty much anything with, I still, and this is just me, probably because I had a repressed parents, that I still struggle with kind of how I think through it. Even the higher order brain's like, yeah, that's stupid. You need to talk about these things. It's just, I still sometimes feel like a middle schooler when it comes around this stuff.
Is there any chance that as you this podcast today,
here it comes,
that you're going to put some like porn music underneath, like, playing as we talk.
I don't know, what is porn music? Is there something about it that it's unique?
I Google the things, Brandon.
Yeah, okay.
Brandon, I want to thank you for being so vulnerable today and sharing and being the Dr. Ruth of the Smarticle podcast.